Well, good morning. Good morning if you're on the West Coast, and good afternoon if you're on the East Coast. My name is Jay Kirshner, and I am taking the place of Dr. Don Cowan today for the, just the next couple weeks. And I just am so glad to be with you this morning. If you're, for me, I'm on the West Coast. It reminds me, the Bible says, this is New Redeeming Spirituality, the program by Dr. Don Cowan. So again, my name is Shay Kirshner. And the Bible says that just by as far as the east as from the west, has God forgiven all of our sins. And that, you see, makes me a happy man. Because it's not about what I have done, it's about what he has done. So good morning, I'm glad to have you. I hope that your day is wonderful, 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 wonderful. So, what I like to do is, yesterday, last night, I went down with my family and we sat down and we watched a movie, and it was a funny movie, it was a good movie, it just came out. It was called Kung Fu Panda. Have you heard of it? Yeah, Kung Fu Panda. Well, anyway, there was a quote in the movie that grabbed me, and I love when certain sayings grab my attention and I think about them. Well, this one said, I think it can be true. And here, this is for me and for you. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. And today is a gift. That is why it is called the present. Let me say that again. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. And today is a gift. That is why it is called the present. Today is a gift. Every day that we are alive is a gift. To be able to breathe, to be able to walk, to be able to see, to be able to even be alive. What a precious gift. To be aware of our circumstances, to be around, just enlightened to the fact that we are human beings. Human beings that the Bible says that we have been redeemed. And what God is trying to do, I believe, is to show us, is to teach us, is to make us fully spiritual, but not only fully spiritual, but fully spiritual and fully physical human beings. Oh, so yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, and today is a gift. That is why it is called the present. Wonderful stuff. Wonderful stuff. So anyway, again, my name is Shay, and I am drinking my Starbucks coffee. I love Starbucks coffee. And on the back of the Starbucks coffee, it says that, it has another little, the way I see it, number 270. And it says, taste is subjective. Taste is democratic. Taste is powerful. Taste, the combination of texture, aroma, temperature, aesthetic, and environment is also a window, check this out, is also a window into someone else's life or culture. Be confident in your taste, but remain curious and expose yourself to new tastes. What a word. That's a good word, Starbucks. Allow your taste to constantly evolve and grow while keeping and cherishing the memories that taste creates. I kid you not, that is by a man named Marcus Samuelson, and he's a co-owner of a restaurant, hence the word taste. Taste. See, I think that is true with any of our world views. You see, we always have to constantly realize our own views, but also we have to, or we should be aware that other people have different worldviews. And it's good to talk to others and to meet others and to be with others and to just expose yourself to other worldviews, to other views that people have. And one way to do this, I believe, to challenge your own worldview. That's what I'm really saying, to challenge your taste. See, I like Starbucks coffee. It has a great taste. It has a wonderful taste. But I wouldn't have known that because before I was stuck on, see, I am in the West Coast, and I was stuck on Seattle's best coffee. I loved Seattle's best coffee, but then along came Starbucks, and I tried it. But I wouldn't have never known that it tastes so good if I never tried it. So what I'm saying is just you have your own worldview. The way that you look at life, at God, and your life, and you have that worldview. But you must expose yourself around to other worldviews, because what if you find something that tastes just really, really good? Anyway, I want to today share with you the worldview that I have found, that I believe that there is meaning in life, and I believe there is truth in life, and I believe that God is the truth. I believe the Bible reveals the truth to us so that we may be grown and help us to understand who we are as people, as human beings, and God is working through history at redeeming his world. And I believe in this worldview, and I want us now to go into the Bible. And just, if you are not a Christian, give it a listen. Sit back, grab a cup of coffee, some snacks. Just sit back and listen. And just be open to, like, taste. Like, we try different foods. Be open to experiment and to try, and you just might find that this taste, see, that the Bible fills you up. It tastes good. A lot of times we taste things and they never fill you up. Well, the Bible says that God, Jesus is the bread of life. He claimed to be the bread of life, the word of God, the manna from heaven. And he says that anyone that drinks of the water that he gives, or tastes of the water that he gives, or eats of him, will never be hungry, will never be thirsty, spiritually speaking, again. That he is, if I could say, the ultimate in taste. You see, the ultimate. Anyway, enjoy. Enjoy your day. Remember, today is a gift. That is why it is called the present. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. The past is gone. Yesterday is gone. God wants you to live in the present. He wants me to live in the present right now, moment by moment. Let his Spirit guide you, to speak to you, to give you the affirmation that you need, that you are his child, that he, your creator, created you. So, anyway, today I want to get into the scriptures. I want to get into the scriptures, specifically the New Testament, the book of Matthew. It's the first book in the New Testament. So if you have Matthew, if you have a Bible, you can turn there now. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And I'm going to be in the King James Version of the Bible. But like I said last week, you can use any version that you so like. I like the English Standard Version. I like the King James Version because I'm used to it. I'm just familiar with it. So they have a little bit of weird language and they talked a little funny. But for me, I like it, so I might just change the words around because I just got used to that. And I want you to be very, very encouraged today. And I want just to share with you in here God's Word, what I believe is God's Word. And if you will just meditate, if I will just meditate on what Jesus is teaching here, it's pretty sweet stuff. So, to begin, in Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to just read it, verses 1 through 6. And what I want to talk about is the hard sayings of Jesus. The hard sayings of Jesus. See, Jesus lived in a different culture than we do. And so if you can, in your mind's view, go back to that culture. You got to go back with me now, 2,000 years ago, from our view, our modern minds, to first century minds. Now, our modern minds are no better than their minds were. We are just different. We have different world views, different ways to look at the world. This way was a Jewish way in the first century. So, chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. These are hard sayings of Jesus. And Jesus, you see, when he came down into this world, when he, the spiritual, became physical and walked this earth, he gave some hard sayings, sayings that kind of freak you out, saying that you must hate your father and mother and brother and sister more than I to be my disciple, or sayings that a rich man cannot enter it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, these sayings can be hard because they're hard to grasp and hard to understand. And I think that this is the saying that I want in verse in Matthew chapter 1 through 6 today is the hard saying. It's one of the hard sayings. It's actually where Jesus says, "Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast you your pearls before swine or pigs, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." So that's the hard saying. So anyway, I'm going to start with the King James Version, Matthew chapter 7. So, here we go. Are you ready? Get set. Here we go. Matthew chapter 7. "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, or what measure you use, it shall be measured to you again." Now that's pretty simple. And why do you behold this, or why do you look at the mote or the sawdust that is in your brother's eye, but considerest not the beam or the plank or the log that is in your own eye? Or how will you say to thy brother, "Let me pull out the mote out of thy eye"? Let me pull out of the big... This sawdust, this little piece of sawdust out of your eye, brother. And behold, a beam is in your own eye. So Jesus is saying, how can you say, "Let me take the plank or the little piece of sawdust out of your own eye," when you have something in your eye? How are you going to see to get it out of your brother's eye? This is the saying. Verse 5, "You hypocrite, first cast out the beam or the log out of your own eye, and then shall you see clearly to cast out the mote or the piece of sawdust out of your brother's eye." Now this is the hard saying. "Give not that which is holy or sacred unto the dogs. Neither cast you your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." So one more time. "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you use or meet, it shall be measured to you again. Verse 3. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in your brother's eye, but you considerest not the beam that is in your own eye? Verse 4. Or how will you say to your brother, let me pull out the mote out of your eye, and behold, the beam is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then shall you see clearly to cast out the mote out of your brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast you your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. This is God's word. Now, I want to just pray, and then we will talk about this. So if you pray with me, Father, thank you so much for this day that we can live in the present. That you, Lord, said in the Bible that you cast our sins from the east and from the west. Father, we ask that you would open our eyes and give us understanding into these hard sayings of Jesus. We love you. And some of us do, some of us don't know you. We praise you, God. We worship you, Lord. We ask that even if we, you know, even if we feel like we're far from you, that some of us feel like we're near. That's what I'm trying to say. Some of us feel like we're near to you. Some of us feel like we're far from you. Regardless of how we feel, Lord, we know that you are here. And we ask that you would bless us now and help us to understand these verses. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Why is this verse difficult? Why is it difficult? See, verses 1 through 5 about don't judge, don't tell your brother this, don't condemn him, don't judge him. See, that is music in our modern minds. The modern person, the person today, says, ah, that's music to my ears. That's what I want Jesus to say. Don't judge. You can't judge me. Don't judge me for this. Don't judge me for that. It's modern music in our ears. The hard saying is found in verse 6. See, verse 6 is hard because here Jesus is saying in verses 1 through 5, don't judge. Be careful how you look at your brother. Make sure that you don't have any logs or planks in your own eye before you try to help somebody else out. But then in verse 6, he says, don't judge. But then he says, don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't give what is holy to dogs. So somewhere, someone he's calling a dog. Someone he's calling a swine. Here he says, don't judge, but you swine. You see how that can be hard, how it almost sounds contrary to what he's saying in verses 1 through 5? He says, don't judge, but then he calls somebody a swine or calls somebody a dog. And so that's why I want to look at this, because I believe this verse, as we look at it, can give us insight, can give us understanding that will launch us to another dimension, almost another view. It will open our eyes that the Holy Spirit would enlighten us to just see a little bit more into what Jesus is talking about. So that's why it's difficult. See, the other thing, some people use this verse to say, this is what they do. Some people in our Christian church, in a Christian church, they say, well, what Jesus means in verse 6, give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearl before swine. They say, well, this is what it means. And this is a popular belief. But they say, well, some use this verse to say that some lives are just too dirty. that some minds are just too hostile to God, that some hearts are just too hard, that they can't understand the truth. So, you know, it's better that we just don't even share the knowledge of the truth with these people, because they're just going to bite us, they're just going to trample on us. But truly, that, I believe, is a big misunderstanding of these two little parallel parables, because that's what these are. In verse 6, that's what we want to focus on. If you'll look in there in your Bible, it says, "Give not that which is holy unto dogs." That's the first little parable. These are little stories. "And neither cast you your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." So, we have two little parallel parables. Two little stories in verse 6. The dogs and the swine. Now, what is a parable? Well, a parable, you see, Jesus spoke in parables. And if you know this, or if you want to know this, a parable was not given to reveal the truth, but to conceal the teaching, to conceal the truth from people that didn't really want to know it. You see, Jesus would speak in other places, and he would say, "If you have ears to hear, let him hear. If you have ears and you can hear, hear." That we would have to be hearers, that we would really have to listen. So a parable, on the surface, when you first read it, it's easy to misunderstand. It's easy to say it's hard. But as we dig into it, as we search it out, as we see what's happening, it opens up. It opens up to us. So let's try this. Let's just try these two little parables. Okay, what are these stories saying? We see we have dogs and we have swine. A swine is a pig. A dog is, well, we all know what a dog is. A dog is God spelled backward. No, a dog and swine. So the first is dogs. Okay. So a dog in the ancient days could be wild, right? They could be wild, but they also could be a pet, okay? We know this because we see throughout the Bibles, if you read the Gospels, you see this woman that came up to Jesus when he was walking around, and she was a Gentile woman. She wasn't a Jewish woman. A Gentile is just the other type of people. You were either Jewish or you were Gentile. You either knew the Yahweh, the true God of Israel, and you were Jewish, and you were given the law, and you kept the cleanly laws and all these, or you were a Gentile. You weren't a Jew. And so there was this Gentile woman that wanted Jesus to help her. And so she said, Jesus, help me. Because even the little dogs that are under the table get to eat the breadcrumbs that fall. And so by that we know that in that day there were little pets that were dogs. Now this might sound simplistic, but this is an important point. I'm trying to show that dogs, although they could be wild or pets or under someone's care, that's really what I'm trying to say, in that day, that these dogs were under someone's care. They were a pet. Now, what about a swine? Well, in that day, a pig wasn't wild in that time. It was an unclean animal. Dog was an unclean animal. But they were also under their care. They weren't just wild, vicious creatures. That's really what I'm trying to say. I think what Jesus is trying to say. They're not vicious. They were swine. They were pigs. And the thing with the pig was we see that Jesus went to heal a demonic person, a person that had what the Bible says are demons. And he went over to this land, and there were like many demons in this person. And he said, and Jesus came up to him and he said, "My name is Legion. There's many of us in this guy." And this guy, you know, he was just oppressed. And this guy just, he was a demonic man. And the demons had taken over him and just terrorizing his life. And the demons were begging Jesus to, well, to not send them to this pit, but send them into these pigs that were grazing the fields. And so Jesus said, okay, go in those pigs. And the pigs went, flew down and fell off this cliff. Well, the point of what I'm trying to say is those the people of the city were kind of angry. They were really upset. Why were they upset? Well, they were upset because that was their livestock, their pigs that they were raising or farming. And what that shows is that these pigs were under their care, that they were not just vicious, but they were under their care. Another point in the New Testament was a story, another parable that Jesus said of a prodigal son. It was this guy had two sons, and one son was the older son, and one son was the younger son. Well, the younger son said, oh, I want my inheritance now. I want what you owe me now, Dad. Before you die, before you hit the bucket, I want it now. And so he took, his dad gave him all that he had, and all that was his, and he went off and he just wasted it in just wild living. And he ended up in feeding what the Bible says are pigs. He was feeding pigs, and he even wanted to eat what the pigs ate. And the point is that they were feeding pigs. So what I think we see in these two, in this parallel parable right here, the first thing we see is this, is that these dogs and swine were not wild, but were under someone else's care in the first century. And that's how I think we have to read it. Here, this is what Jesus is saying. Here, you have animals in your care, right? Here you have animals in your care. And you give them something very valuable, but they can't digest it. So it either hurts them as they bite into it, or it chokes them and they turn and trample you. So that's what the dogs and the swine. You have animals in your care, and you give them something very valuable. You place a pearl at them. But see, they can't digest a pearl, so it either hurts them as they bite into it, or it chokes them and they turn in and trample you. So these are animals that are in someone else's care. Now, why do they turn and trample you? Why? Because you're edible. Now, this is important. You're edible. You're food to them. That pearl isn't. See, what you're giving them is not edible. And so what he's saying, I believe, is don't be surprised. In verse 6, what Jesus is saying is, don't be surprised that they're going to trample you. You're giving them something. You're giving them a pearl. You're giving them something that they can't eat, something that they can't understand, that they can't grasp. Don't be surprised. So he's actually castigating the caregivers. And that's what I want us to see, is that he's not really castigating the animals. He's not coming down on the dogs or the swine. He's not over there like some people say, that say some lives are too dirty, some hearts are too hostile, and some minds just too hard. Jesus went with people like that. We are like that. That's who Jesus hung around with. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, you, Israel, you who I'm talking to, have people under your care. And don't be surprised if you just cast your pearl, if you're just giving them something that they're just not going to trample you. They just don't understand. That's the first thing. When we start to understand the parable this way, it opens up. It opens up. Are you following along with me? Are you doing okay? Is this making sense? This parable is implying and it's directing us to see ultimate reality. What? Ultimate reality. This is one verse. Ultimate reality. Something about ourselves. Now, Jesus spoke in parables. And as we dig into them, if you have ears to hear, you can hear what he's saying as you study them and as you look into them. And this is what this parable is saying. Two things. It says the hearts that we have and the help that we need. The hearts we have and the help we need. Now, what about the hearts we have? Well, why are the animals responding this way? Animals are not infuriated and choked because they were given poison or rocks. Why are the animals trampling? Why are the animals turning like this? Notice this. They're not upset. They're not angry. They're not choking because they were given poison or rocks. Notice, they were not given something below their capacity, right? That's what rock would be. That's what poison would be. It would be below their capacity. But above it, they were given a pearl. They were given something that was above their capacity. Their capacity to understand. Their capacity to comprehend. See, what's the pig really want? What am I saying? The pig wants a corn husk. That's what the pig wants. It wants a piece of corn. It wants something that it can chew on, something that it can eat, something that is edible. Right? A pearl, as you and I know, has greater value than a corn husk. But the pig, the dog, does not have the ability to assess it, or to appropriate it, or to understand its value. This is natural, right? This is a natural thing. The animal just doesn't understand. So what does this tell us? Well, since Jesus is not talking about vicious animals, he's talking about, I believe, normal human nature. Now remember, we're in the hearts that we have. Normal human nature. See, he's speaking to us about what is ultimate reality. And so Jesus in this parable is speaking to us about normal human nature. Okay. That in our natural state, see, this is what he's saying, that in our natural state, we are spiritually insensitive. We are blind and need our eyes open. Sacred and holy doesn't really mean much. See, if you want to know, see, the sacred and the holy, and that gives interest to you, then you see, the natural mind, the natural human nature to it. It's not important what is holy and what is sacred. See, these two parallel parables, like we've been talking about, give us insight into what I believe is eternal life. Well, what is eternal life? What is eternal life? Well, eternal life, some think that eternal life is like a ticket, and you might have heard this before, is like a ticket to get to heaven. That once you believe in Jesus and he gives you this ticket, that one day you will go to heaven, that you will live forever. But the problem with that is that Jesus said that eternal life is now, not just then, but now. He's, when you believe in me, you have crossed over or are crossing over into eternal life. In part of the Bible, in John chapter 17, it says that this is eternal life, that we know in the present God and Jesus Christ in whom he sent. That we know him now, that we could have eternal life now. So some say it's a ticket, but Jesus said, now, so that doesn't work. Some think, hey, it might, hey, eternal life might be this power that God gives us to like leap over tall buildings or to climb trees or to do some fantastic thing. No. Eternal life in this parable and how we're looking at it, I think this parable gives us good insight. And I've been blessed by this. Eternal life is, I want to suggest, is an order, a higher order of being. Check this out. It's a higher order of life, a higher order of sensitivity, a higher order of awareness and perception. What am I talking about? What are you talking about? See, check this out. The pig is alive, right? We know the pig is alive because he bites. Right? If you bite, if something bites you, you know it's alive because it hurts. Human beings are alive. If a human being was brought down by injury, by some kind of injury, if a human being went into a coma, if a human being went into a coma, if a human being was brought down by an injury to have an awareness now of a pig, I'm not saying that people in a coma just have awareness of a pig, but they are definitely different than a human being that's living and that they can think. I mean, they've been, by an injury, to have an awareness of a pig. So if a human being has been brought down by injury to have an awareness of a pig, we would call that not, we would call that a living death. Right? They'd still be living, but they don't have, no longer have the awareness that they used to have. So we might call that a living death. Well, and so, an eternal life is a higher order of being. And I suggest eternal life is the next order. It's the higher order of being. It's the awareness. It's the sensitivity. It is that we would live forever in the future, but it's also now. It's an awareness. It's a higher order of life. What am I talking about? Well, take this for an example. Plants are alive, right? Plants are alive. Well, they're more alive than a rock. See, a rock exists. A rock exists. But a rock can't sense cold and hot. A rock can't sense this. A plant, they can sense light, dark. They can sense warm, cold. They can sense temperature more than a rock. So a plant is on a higher order than a rock. But you see, a plant doesn't have ears. A plant doesn't have eyes. So when I'm out there later or tomorrow or you're out there and you're mowing your lawn, well, the plant can't hear it. You know, it's gone. You see, it doesn't have ears and it can't see like animals can. So we have a rock, and that's in one order, and then another order is a plant, and then above that is an animal. See, and an animal is in a higher order of being than a plant is. It's all what plants do, they can do all the same thing. They can sense hot and cold and temperatures, but see, they can hear and they can see. But see, an animal, although it can do more than a plant, they can't sense justice and injustice like a human can. See, an animal, they can't sense happiness and tragedy, kindness and cruelty like humans can. See, humans can sense justice and injustice, happiness and tragedy, kindness and cruelty like humans can. And these orders of life, God created them, and the Bible will say this in Genesis, that's how he created the earth, plants, animals, and humans. Well, what I'm saying, eternal life is the highest order of being. You have eternal life. That's what Jesus said. I came to give you life, so that you would have life more abundantly. What does a human look like without eternal life? Well, they look at the holy. They look at a sacred, well, like a pig, looks at a pearl, like a dog looks at a sacred. Without eternal life, the cross seems like nonsense. Or someone might believe because they were raised that way. But without eternal life, their hearts are not ravished and taken over by it. Do you understand? Eternal life is a higher level of life, a higher order of perception. Eternal life. See, God wants us to be a fully spiritual human being. And with eternal life, you can sense the holiness of God. You can sense the sweet grace of Jesus Christ and the death that he died and that he rose again from the dead, that you're aware. So what is Jesus saying about our natural hearts? Well, even if you want, you don't have the ability to take in spiritual truth. You don't just need to be a fatter pig, is what he's saying. You need to become a higher order of being. Not just reformed, but transformed. Not just rehabilitated, but a new creation. Not just a better person, but a new person. Well, how does this happen? How do we get these kind of hearts? How do we move from being a dog or a pig into a fully spiritual human being? I think this is what the parable is saying. We looked at the hearts, right? We look at the hearts that we have. Well, now, what is the help that we need? The help that we need is the beauty of Christ. And this is what I want us to see, that he's so beautiful. It's the beauty of Christ. What? What is the pearl? The pearl in our parable. Well, the pearl, what is the pearl? Well, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, that's where we are, it says that don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't just give these pearls before pigs. Well, what is the pearl? Well, there's another parable, Matthew chapter 13, verse 45, and this parable says this. I'm just going to read it. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who then, he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So in this parable, Jesus is saying the pearl is the kingdom of heaven. It's the gospel of the kingdom. That this man saw this pearl. He saw the beauty of it. And he went and sold all that he had so that he could buy it. So the gospel of the kingdom is the pearl. That's the pearl. The gospel of the kingdom, the good news. What is the gospel of the kingdom? Well, it's the message that through Jesus Christ, that the kingdom power of God, the healing power of God to heal all of life has come through Jesus Christ and can be yours and can be mine in Jesus Christ. Well, why a pearl in this parable? Look at the pig. Why does he put a pearl here? The pig is unhappy. Think with me. The pig is unhappy because it has a belly to fill, right? And it doesn't see how this pearl will meet his immediate need. See, the pig can't eat it. And so the pig says, is this pearl useful to me? Is it useful to me? To my agenda? Well, what's the pig's agenda? The pig's agenda is to feel full. Right? The pig wants to be a fatter pig. It just wants to get full. So the pig looks at the pearl and says, is it useful to me? Well, this parable is giving us an example that I've learned of how a natural human heart looks through a religious grid. Well, what am I talking about? Religion says, I know what I need. Will this give it to me? See, that's what religion says. I know what I need. Will this give it to me? If you scratch my back, God, I'll scratch your back. See, there was a Joshua. Joshua, we're going to be ending pretty soon, but we're closing down. Joshua, He was in the Old Testament, and he was to take back the land of Canaan. God said, Joshua, go over into the land of Canaan, cross the Jordan River, and take it. And you're going to have to defeat these Canaanites and all these ites, these people back there. Well, Joshua was one day sitting there, and he was pondering this, and it was an evening, and he looked over, and he saw this captain, the captain of the Lord's army, this big guy with a sword. And Joshua came up to him, and I believe it was this. It was a picture of it was God. The guy said, "I am the captain of the Lord's army." And Joshua said, "Are you for me or are you against me? Are you on my side or are you on the enemy's side?" And the guy looked at him and he said, "No." "What? No." See, he was asking, "Are you useful to me?" And the captain of Jericho, the captain of the Lord's army, said, "No, it's not about sides. I'm not going to be on a category. See, it's not about if I'm useful to you. Are you on my side?" See, this is a picture of who Jesus is, this Joshua, this captain of the Lord's army. And Jesus is like saying, it's not about sides. I'm not going to be put on a category. I have below your categories. You're not looking at it. You're only looking at it through your eyes. You're looking at it through a religious grid. Is this going to get you what you want? See, that's what spiritual pigness is. Spiritual pigness is, will this help me get the things that I know will make me happy? A pig looking at the pearl is like a natural man saying, are you going to get me what I need? Are you going to do this for me? If you do this for me, I'll do this for you. But see, that's not the gospel. That's not the good news. And that's what Jesus, when he came to this earth, he was trying to show, he was trying to teach. Well, here is how to experience eternal life and be transformed. How do I experience it? How do I be transformed? Well, you know what the pig wants. You know that the pig wants to be a bigger pig. And you know what God wants. God, the Bible says, wants us to be a fully spiritual being. He wants us to be aware. Jesus wants us to live abundant lives. A higher order of being. Not just a nicer and better person. He wants us to be new creations. He wants us to live in this new order, to experience his beauty and his grace. When does this start? It starts when we move from how the pig looks at the pearl in our parable in Matthew chapter 7 verse 6. It starts when we move from how the pig looks at the pearl to how the man looks at the pearl. See, there's two approaches. The pig says, will this give me more of what I have? Is it useful? And the man in the other parable, the man where he saw the pearl of great price, says, he's beautiful. It's so beautiful. I will sell all I have to get him, to get the good news, to get Jesus, because he's the ultimate good news. Well, what is beauty? Beauty isn't useful, you see. Beauty isn't a means to get to an end. It's satisfying in itself. See, it's satisfying in itself. It's like if you like paid for lessons to appreciate music, and you just paid a whole bunch of money, and you were just paying all this money so that you could get a grade. Right? And then you're doing this, but then when you grow up in your life, I heard somebody say this, they used to pay all these lessons so that they could really appreciate Mozart and appreciate classical music. And they did this so that they could get a grade and so that they would understand. But now they find themselves listening. They find themselves paying a whole bunch of money so that now that they can understand the music and appreciate it, The beauty is listening to the classical music. You see, it's an end of itself. You see, Jesus is the end of itself. He's beautiful. God's beautiful. So how does this happen practically? Well, there's two stages. See, how does this happen? How does this happen? How do I understand? How do I do this? How do I not say, is it useful, but I say, he's beautiful? How does this happen for me? It happens when you stop, when I stop looking at what he can do for us in the future and start looking at what he has already done in the past. See, Colossians 2:3 says that Jesus is the treasure. He's the beauty. It says in Colossians 2:3, it says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. See, in Jesus are hid all the treasures. He is the ultimate reality. He is what we all want. He's beautiful in itself, in himself. He's beautiful. You see, he is the pearl of great price. See, when he was on the cross, Psalm 22 is a psalm, and it says this. See, when he was on the cross, Jesus went to the cross for us. He was like this pearl being cast before swine, you see, but he gave himself for us. He lived the life that we can't live. He died the death that we don't have to die. He loved us that much, and that's what he did. And when he was hanging on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why have you left me? And he goes on and he says that many bulls encompass me, strong bulls surround me. They open wide their mouths at me. They want to bite me like a ravening and roaring lion. And then he says, for dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircle me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. Jesus suffered for us on the cross so that we wouldn't have to. God accepts us for who we are. See, when we realize this, and we see what he has done, and we focus on what Jesus has done for us already, that our sins are forgiven, that he's washed us clean, that he's made us whole, that it's not about what we do, but it's about what he's done. When we focus on that, when we start to keep that in our minds and to understand that, our hearts will start to be melted by the beauty. And we'll start to appreciate God for who God is and that he's beautiful, and we'll be changed from the perspective of the pig to a perspective of a person. See, to the person that looked at the pearl and says, oh, he's beautiful. I want that. I want him. And we'll realize that, you see, we'll take the other perspective and we won't look at the pearl and like the pig does and say, oh, it doesn't mean nothing to me. See, Jesus is beautiful. Your heart will be melted. See, if you have seen his beauty, you're free. You're free. I'm free. If we haven't, we're like an animal. We're like driven by ourselves, tossed to and fro for our own acceptance and just for our own satisfaction. But see, his beauty will satisfy. His water that he will give will quench. The food that he gives quenches because he is our ultimate need. So Jesus is saying this in this parable, I believe. And then he's also saying in verses 1 through 5, he said, we got to understand our own hearts before we help others. Don't push truth on people. Be ever so gentle. Treat everyone differently. Treat everyone differently. Be gentle. I just want to close and just say thank you. I encourage you today to just get into the Bible and start studying the Lord and just know that he loves you. If you want a relationship with Jesus, just thank God. Thank you, God. Pray this prayer. Thank you, God, for forgiving me for my sins. Thank you, Father, for forgiving me for my sins. Jesus, come into my heart and make me the kind of person that you want me to be. Until next time, I want to just tell you, God loves you, and to just go out and be in the present with God, and let His Spirit guide you, and know that He loves you and that He accepts you right where you are. And God will take you to places that you never knew or you never dreamed of. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Father, for this word. Amen. Amen.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.